song that we just said or sang had embodied within it the concept of take my life and consecrate it unto thee. To consecrate is to make wholly dedicated our lives to the Lord. And really, this is what our message this day entails. That's what this message is about. We are in our verse-by-verse walk through Paul's letter to the Philippian believers. This is chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, and the message is entitled, The Journey. I think we should recognize by now that the whole of the Philippian letter is about how then shall we live. It's about how we should prioritize things in life, how we should measure things in life, how we should view our life and our death. It's all about being on a journey, a life consecrated, fully dedicated to our Lord and Savior. With that in view, I want to open with a question. And here is the question. If you were asked this, what do you desire more than anything for yourself in this life? What would be your answer? If you were asked this day, and in fact you are being asked this day, what is it above all things that you desire most for yourself? What would you have as your answer? Now, Paul is going to give us his answer in our feature verse. We're going to read what was the deepest desire on Paul's heart. Not that we're elevating Paul, nor are we saying that Paul's opinion is paramount. Rather, what we're saying is this: the grace of God in Christ was so great in Paul's life that Paul answers this question in a very specific way. Here's what Paul says. I desire that I may know him, that is Christ. I desire that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now there's much in this passage that we will dwell upon. What we're going to do is we're going to take it piece by piece, and what you see bolded in this next slide is Paul's answer to the question, what is it that you desire more than anything else in life? What does Paul desire most? He desires to know Christ better. That's the point. In fact, Paul desires to know Christ more and more with each passing day of his life. This is because God's grace in Christ was that richly upon Paul's heart. And so this is a model for us. This is how we should view life. But the question is this a desire that we have? Is this the preeminent desire that you have, that each waking morning you would wake up and say, Lord, this day, may you draw me closer to you than I was when I went to bed last night? To wake up each morning and say, this day is yet another day to pray to the Lord and to depend upon him. That this day is another day to go, oh my, Lord, what do you have in store for me? Where are you taking me? How is it that you're going to draw me more close to your heart? That's how each morning should be for us. The deepest and richest desire in our life would be to wake up each morning and look forward to growing closer to the Lord that day. Then we go to bed that night, we praise him, and we wake up the next morning in hopeful anticipation that we're going to grow closer to him that day as well. Paul desires to know Christ more and more. This should be the pinnacle desire of our lives. Not our fame or our fortune or our comfort. Not our income or our jobs or the welfare of our children, although all those things have merit. The richest and deepest thing that should drive our thinking is, Lord, may each day be a new day where you draw me closer to you. Sorry about that. So what should be our deepest desire for our loved ones? Well, it should be that they too would know the Lord more and more and more fully each day. Think of it this way. Every day that we wake up, we should be thinking, my spouse, Lord God, may you draw my spouse more fully to you this day. Or my parents, or my children, or my niece, or my nephew, or my siblings, whomever it is that is close to you in your heart, whomever it is that you love, each day as you say, Lord, may you this day move me closer to you, may you as well move my loved ones closer to you, day by day, that they too would revel in God's greatness and enjoy him all the more. Do you do that? Is that how you view your spouse or your parents or your siblings or whomever it is that's close to you? Do you think in terms of, Lord, may you move my loved ones closer to you? Lord, may you even use me as an instrument towards that end. Lord, privilege me to watch you at work in my loved one's life. Is this how we view life? Is this our deepest desire to know him day by day, more and more? Here's what we read as we return to our feature verse, Philippians 3:10 through 11. And the power of his resurrection, Paul desires to be like Jesus in his death to attain the resurrection from the dead. Well, what does Paul mean here? Paul is simply saying this. He desires to experience being raised from the dead onto eternal life upon his own physical death. Here's something that if a non-believer walked into this room and heard, they would think it's odd. But what Paul is basically saying is he's richly desirous of physically dying. Why? Because he knows upon his physical death he'll be raised in Christ, and that physical death will be the first step in being face to face with his Lord in heaven forever. It's not a morbid thought at all. Do we get the sense that Paul loves life? Indeed, we should, because he does. Is he thrilled about his day-by-day existence? Does he say there's great joy in his life? Absolutely. But what does he say? Even better than being here is what? Being with the Lord. You see, we should look at life this way. It puts a twist on aging. Every day that we wake up, we're one day closer to being face to face with our Lord forever. On that great day when the Lord calls you and I home, from that point forward, you will never know pain. You'll never know agony. You'll never know loneliness or lostness. You'll never again suffer with sin, yours or others. There will be no greater joy than to spend that first moment with your Lord. Paul is saying, his deepest desire is to grow to the Lord day by day in the anticipation that one day he will step into eternity to be with his master. That's how he views life. And by grace, may the Lord move each of us to view life the same way. Should we fear death? No. We should, in fact, be excited about the notion. Death is nothing more than a transition from this journey to our destination, which is being with our Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here. He desires to experience, upon his physical death, his being raised onto eternity with his master. He also has embodied within this verse a desire to share in the sufferings of Christ. And that's an interesting. The grace of God in Christ is so great in Paul that he does not fear but embraces suffering in this world so as to experience resurrection to be with Christ. Think of it this way, folks. I've asked you this one before and you've almost certainly considered it. When is it that you've grown the most in the Lord? Has it been through the easy times in your life? Or has it been through the suffering and difficult times? For how many of you would say it's in the more difficult times? Raise your hand. I think most of us would agree. Can the Lord draw us more closely to Him even in good times? Of course He can. Whatever the Lord ordains for us is good. But what Paul is saying is, even if they're suffering, so be it. As he goes on, he says this, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already complete, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own." Here's what we'll do. We'll just step back and look at this from a distance. All of Philippians is about how to live life, how to view life. Where we are right now, what we're being taught in the power of the Holy Spirit, is that our richest and deepest desire for self should be to grow in the Lord day by day as we make an incremental step, a journey to eternity. And that we should desire the same, a growth in the Lord for everyone we care about day by day on this journey. It's a journey, and what we're reading now is Paul saying, well, I'm not at the end of that journey. I am not where I'm going to be. I am going to be, Paul says, more fully in love with the Lord later than I am now. He's saying, I'm not complete now. Is he heading towards completeness? That day in which you'll be with the Lord forever? Sure. But he says, it's not that I've already obtained this. I'm en route. I'm on a journey. I'm not already complete. But I press on. Notice the terminology, press on. Does that almost imply that there's hurdles that you have to go through to move forward? Sure there is, because there's difficulty in life because we're a fallen people in a fallen world. Paul's heart was enlightened to realize this, that knowing the Lord better day by day means that he's on a journey, and that effort must be exerted on that journey. It requires effort. In whose power? The Lord's power. But is effort to be expent in our day-by-day walk to draw closer to the Lord? Certainly. It's a discipline. And he's saying that. He says he's not complete. He presses on. Effort must be exerted in the journey, knowing that each day is a day where we can grow closer to God. Now, my friends, do we view each day as a new chance to know the Lord better? Have you thought of life this way? Do you wake up each morning and go, again, another day to be more dependent upon the Lord, another day to pray unto the Lord, another day to see Him at work in my life and the life of my loved ones? Is this how we view life? Or do we get up and go, what's for breakfast? What do I need to do this day? What's my task list of things that I have to do before I can relax? You see, we can get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent, those things that don't have eternal significance. Do we have to meet the tasks on our task list? Well, sure, but let's put them in perspective. Each morning, we should wake up with our mind fixed upon our Lord and Savior, our mind fixed upon God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. Do we seek each day to know Him better? Do we view each day as a new chance to watch the Lord at work growing our loved ones towards Him? Those of you with little ones or about to have little ones, what's going to be so awesome as a parent is to watch the Lord at work in your child's life. It's an amazing thing. And whether your child's not yet out in the world or barely out in the world, or if your child's 50 years old, it's still a beautiful thing to see the Lord at work in your loved ones, in your children. Do we view life that way? Do we seek after and pray for God's grace that He would bless our loved ones, our spouse, the people we care for? Do we realize that each day is a journey with incremental growth? Do we always have enormous growth? Big things happen? No. Each day could be a little thing, but incremental growth in the Lord. Interesting what the emphasis becomes as we move forward. Not that I've already obtained this or am already complete, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Emphasizing this part, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Paul's heart was enlightened to realize this. The day-to-day journey he was on to know the Lord better is a journey not taken in his own power. The effort exerted is fueled by God's grace, as Paul depends upon grace to move him closer to the Lord. Here's what I want you to view yourself as. You're a car, and you have no gas in your tank. It's an empty tank. Can you, in your own power, as that car, make a move closer to Christ? There's no fuel. Can a car move on its own without fuel? No. You and I cannot move on our own without fuel. What is that fuel? The grace of God in Christ worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who moves us with the desire to move towards the Lord. When we are fueled, do we in fact move? We do. So that's the point. Paul is saying we don't move towards the Lord or grow in Christ in our own power. It's fully on the grace of God and the grace of God alone. But when the Lord deposits his grace upon us, do we in fact move? Is effort exerted? Yes. So we pray for grace, and then we get up off our knees and live in view of that grace. Does that make sense? You pray for a greater desire for the Word, and what do? You get up off your knees from that prayer, you grab the Bible, and you begin to read. You pray, Lord, give me more compassion for my spouse. Then you get up and you serve your spouse. You live as you pray, recognizing that as you move, in God's power. That's what he's saying here. That is what he is saying. Part of the pursuit, part of this journey, part of this incremental growth day by day is seeking after such grace through prayer. We cannot move to God any closer than we are this moment in our own power. He must move us closer to him, and we seek after his grace that he would so bless us and our loved ones. Can your spouse move any closer to the Lord than you can in his or in her power? No. So they too must depend upon grace, so you pray for that grace for them. Yet in all this we're active and we press forward in his power. Verse 14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the goal of this incremental walk? It's to know the Lord more day by day on the journey until that great day where we're in his very presence as he's called us home. I again say to my loved ones in this congregation who have a spouse who's now with the Lord or have a child who's now with the Lord, they are in the best place they've ever been. Better than we could even conceive of, because they're with God. That's the prize at the end. That's what we march towards in the Lord's power, to be with him fully. A message from God, the Holy Spirit, through Paul. It continues in verse 15. That those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Paul is emphasizing something here. View life the way he described it. That's what he's saying. Let those of us, myself included, who are mature, may we all think this way. May we all have as our deepest desire day by day growth in the Lord for us and our loved ones. Now, folks, an important reality about this journey to know the Lord better day by day requires a second look at an earlier verse. It's Philippians 3:13. it started this way. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made this journey my own. We've addressed in detail, but not this part. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I strain forward, right? And straining forward to what lies ahead. Here's the reality. A forward journey has little time to look back. My friends, if you go to a secular psychologist and you're struggling today, what will that secular non-Christian psychologist make you hyperanalyze? Your past. How did you get here? The Word of God says, no. That was then. Strain forward. We do not look at our past. It is not important. I don't want to dismiss everything from our past because the Lord ordained that for us, but it is not valuable to dwell upon our past beyond what the Scriptures declare we ought to do as we view our past. A forward journey has very little time to look back. Our past is behind us. Our difficulties and our failures then are not critical now. The abuse we levied to others then, that was then. The abuse others levied to us, that was then. Today, our goal is to walk closer to the Lord incrementally, day by day. Lord, where are you taking me? It's not where have I been. Let's not hyperanalyze our background. Our past is behind us. Our difficulties and our failures then are not critical now. What matters is not where we've been, but where He has us now, where He's taking us in the future. That which is in green is replicated in your worship folder. And I pray that each of us will latch onto that as a motto for living. It's biblical. What matters is not where we've been, but where He has us now and where He's taking us next. Did it matter a whole lot for Paul what took place before the road to Damascus? When he was Saul and persecuting Christians, did that matter now as he was writing Philippians? It didn't. He was straining forward to be a blessing to the people around him then. Could Paul correct any of the mistakes he made in the past? No, and neither can you. Don't worry about that. Does Paul have the peace of knowing that when he sanctioned the death of Stephen, who was stoned to death because of his Christian faith, and Paul was responsible for it, did Paul have to concern himself with the implications of that sin? No, because he's free in Christ. Christ died for that. You ought to see life the same way. What took place then? It's not critical. What matters is where He has us now and where He's taking us next. A healthy view of our past. Do not dwell upon your failures, except for this purpose, to generally solidify in our mind and heart the principle that we need the grace of God in Christ. We should look back just long enough to go, oh my, the Lord's grace has taken me so far. Our God is awesome. We should look back just enough to go, oh my Lord and my God, have you grown me and I praise you. We should look back just long enough to say, my Lord and my God, thank you for carrying me through those difficult times. Thank you for giving me the vision today that I have now in view of that horrible past that I had. I thank you, Lord. And then we look forward. Just back long enough to say, I praise you, Lord. That's a healthy view of our past. If we're honest, though, we struggle with this. It's tempting to dwell upon what we wanted but did not get. It's tempting to dwell on what we got that we didn't want. It's tempting to look back, but we need to fight against it in the Lord's power. We tend to dwell upon unmet needs that are really unmet wants. And therefore, what happens is today we end up pursuing those unmet wants. That's the wrong focal point. that has you focusing on self. Instead, what we want is this: to be thankful for our past, content with our present, and excited about our future journey. It's again in green, it's once more replicated in your worship folder, and it's again a motto for living. We should be thankful for our past, even the difficulty of our past. I have some horrible sin in my past. Some really horrible sin in my past. I recognize that sin for what it was, and it makes me see the grace of God in Christ all the more. There is no need for me to dwell upon that sin that I can do nothing about now. Now I just say, my Lord and my God, thank you for clarifying in my heart and mind my need for you as a Savior. Thank you for allowing me to graphically understand the extent to which I'm a sinner and I need you. That's all my past is for. That's all your past is for. Thankful for the past, content with our present, excited about our future journey. My friends, why wouldn't we be excited about our future journey? What's the thing that's ahead for all of us? We are going to be praising the Lord with our loved ones forever. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, in the very presence of God. That's what we have to look forward to. So each morning we should wake up and say, today, Lord, I'm a day closer. This day while I'm here, this day while I'm on this journey, Lord, move me closer to you. Move my loved ones closer to you as well. Thankful for our past, content with our present, excited about our future journey. A healthy view of our past as we bring this morning's message towards its close. We dwell on the grace of God, experience in our past, and thank and praise Him. We dwell upon those great times where God's grace carried us through those tough times. That we would thank Him and praise Him. The only thing in our rearview mirror should be, the only thing, we just look in that rearview mirror just to see the cross and say, thank you, Lord, for taking me to this point at this time. And may you make me more loving towards you and others this day. So folks, we should see our past in view of His blessings and praise Him. We look to the future where, freed from our past, we pursue knowledge in Him and loving Him by loving others. What should we seek after? A desire for the Word. That would be great, wouldn't it? We should seek after, Lord, give unto me a rich and fruitful prayer life. Lord, give unto me eyes to see the needs of my loved ones. Give unto me, Lord God, a heart to have compassion for my loved ones. Lord, move me and my loved ones to you day by day. The take-home message, we're on a journey. We're not home, are we? In fact, we are called biblically sojourners. What's a sojourner? It's a person who's passing through. All of us have an address right now, don't we? I live on 6th Stanford. I call it my home. It's not my home. This earth is not my home. Your address, this planet, is not your home. This is where we're sojourners. We're on a journey. We're passing through. It's a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing, and a blessed journey. But where's our home? It's in heaven. It's with our Lord. That's our home. And day by day, we walk closer in His power to that home. We're on a journey. And in this journey, we should see each day as a new chance to watch the Lord at work in us, around us, and through us. Watching the Lord. You know, the most amazing thing about being a pastor, the most wonderful thing, is to week by week watch people in Sunday school or in conversation, come visit our home, whatever, is to see God at work in the lives of so many people. It's an astonishing thing. It's great when you see people's eyes light up when they're thinking about the things of God, and you see the joy in their hearts. When you see young people who are going to raise their children in the Lord. When you see the Lord at work in us, around us, and through us. That's the beauty of this life. And it just gets better as we move further until it goes to its conclusion. And it's better yet. We're in His presence. We're in a journey. And each day should be an exciting new day. We should be thankful for our past, content now, and excited about the future. Folks, this week, may it be that each morning when you wake up, before your feet hit the floor, you're thinking about the things of the Lord. May the Lord's grace be upon each of us so richly that the moment our eyes open up, our thoughts are, Lord, what do you got in view for me this day? Where are you taking me, Lord? I have no idea, but I trust you, I love you, and it's going to be great because you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has each of us in His hands. Is there any better place to be? There isn't. There's the point. Thankful for our past, content now, and excited about the future. Let's pray. Our Lord and God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Philippian message. We thank you for choosing Paul to be an instrument through whom you convey this great message. That you took this sinner, this liar, this murderer, this man Saul, and you changed him on the road to Damascus. You changed his heart, and we are privileged to read of it. That you sent your Holy Spirit to reside in our hearts so that you would illumine truth, that we would recognize how your grace changed Paul and gave such joy and purpose and meaning into Paul's life. You, by your grace, moved his heart to love you and honor you and revere your great name. May the same grace, Lord God, that you bestowed upon Paul be upon each of us here. Make us, Lord, dependent upon you. Lord, remove from us the desire to depend upon ourselves. Lord, give unto us the desire to grow in you day by day. May it be, Lord God, that you would move that desire, the desire to know you. May you move it in our priority scheme above all other things. That the only thing held equal with our desire to grow in you is our desire to see our loved ones also grow in you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for our past. We thank you for the contentment you've given us now and for the excitement that is on our hearts for the future. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. May all glory and honor be yours now and forever. Amen.